I'm Jay Ellison, and this is the Transom Podcast. Producer Carla Murphy is closing a circle. After a career in television, she finds herself wandering back to her first passion, music, and mixing the piece with her TV editing software. Her story, Maria, Lena, and Me, is a tribute to one remarkable pianist. But more than that, it's an homage to inspiration. If you never dreamed of becoming a concert pianist, you'll find yourself entering that dream as you listen. The story and music are enchanting. Up now, Maria, Lena, and Me by Carla Murphy.
One day, I was talking with my friend about her love of classical music, and she told me this fascinating story about an obscure Russian pianist that I couldn't stop thinking about. My friend is Lena Litsitsian. We met in high school back in the late 80s. We both played classical piano. We actually won a competition together, playing this piece you're listening to right now, a concertino for two pianos by Dmitri Shostakovich. I think our teacher chose this piece for us because, like Shostakovich, Lena is also from Russia. She had emigrated to the United States with her family in 1987. After graduation, Lena and I lost touch. 10 years later,
we met here in New York.
Lena found me.
By me searching, Googling for you.
Turns out, while I had given up the dream of being a concert pianist years ago, Lena never did.
For me, I like eat dirt until I die, trying, then doing something that I don't love doing. I knew for myself since I was 8, I knew I'm going to be a pianist. I wanted to be a pianist. I wanted to be nothing else.
Lena gets invited to play in festivals, mostly in Europe, and she teaches on the side.
I'm lucky that my husband is not kicking me out of the house and letting me bring like little money from teaching. He's very supportive.
How did you know at such a young age? Like, what was it about music?
I don't know. It was just like I kind of grew up in it, constantly going to concerts, and I had this recording.
That's when she told me about a record someone gave her when she was 8 years old. This was back in Moscow.
This really inspired me so much.
It was a recording of Bach.
Several pieces by Bach.
Played by a Russian pianist.
This really amazing pianist, Maria Yudina.
Named Maria Yudina.
I was so fascinated because she played Bach in such a way that she probably would be executed for her interpretation.
What Lena means is Bach is usually played in this very precise, rhythmic way. It's the Baroque style. It's very dry. But Maria Yudina,
I don't know, she can do crazy things. Like she can take a pedal and not take it off, and then it creates a very strange sound. It makes it too romantic for Bach. It was something so passionate. It was amazing. For me, it was like fantastic.
Lena listened to that record every day in her bedroom for years.
Well, not maybe. I skipped a couple of days throughout those years. But I guess from that on, I realized that there are no borders in interpretation of music. People expect you to play in a certain way. And I would not be playing piano if these were the rules for me.
But those weren't the only rules that Maria Yudina broke.
She was a very strange woman.
Lena started telling me all these other weird details about Yudina's life.
She did crazy things, extremely eccentric. She had a lot of cats, feeding birds out of her window. She basically took every animal home, and she dressed in very strange, very modestly, like she was a nun. She wore sneakers with long skirt. Very unglamorous. Extremely unglamorous. She didn't like even people giving her flowers. Everything about this personality appealed to me incredibly. I don't know why, but I thought it was something, maybe because it was so different from the society. Soviet Union was a very difficult place to live. She was basically trying to live as free as she could.
Maria Yudina lived from 1899 to 1970, through the brutal dictatorship of Stalin, through the most repressive years of the Soviet regime. It was a time of fear. But when she took the stage, the way she performed, even how she lived her life, was fearless. I heard that again and again. And I found out there are all these stories about her, like legends.
People talk about her as some kind of prophet. It's really remarkable. I mean, because you want to be skeptical about that sort of thing as a historian, but enough people say it that she certainly had that effect on people.
That's Peter Schmeltz.
And I'm associate professor of musicology at Washington University in St. Louis.
Peter spent a few years in Russia studying music and has done some research on Maria Yudina's life. He says people went to her concerts because you never knew what to expect.
So she had very wild kinds of interpretations of
the
music?
Oh, crazy, yeah. I mean, there's a really great recording of pictures at an exhibition by Mussorgsky. I mean, it's unlike any other recording of that piece that you've heard. And then by the end, she's all over the place. Missing notes left and right, but it's not the point, right? It's the mood that she's creating. Just the sheer energy that she's able to convey that really is the message. I mean, as a listener, you're really sort of caught up in it. But for people who are more traditionalist, I think it rubs them the wrong way.
I'm just trying to remember the story.
There's a famous anecdote about one of Yudina's concerts back in the 40s, one of those legends, that pretty much sums up Maria Yudina's approach to music.
During the war, during World War II, there was a concert where she was playing Bach.
She played a piece, like a mellow piece.
One of the preludes that was supposed to be very gentle.
There's no recording of Yudina's concert. But according to the story, Yudina decided to play the prelude very differently on this particular night.
She played it fortissimo.
Very aggressively.
And someone...
Another pianist went up to her and said, why are you playing it so aggressively?
Can you tell me why did you play it in such a strange interpretation?
She said, we have to play music aggressively. We're in the middle of a war.
How else would I interpret it? We're in a time of war. I have to be passionate and fortissimo. Yeah.
So that kind of, that sort of, I think, reveals a lot about her mindset. You feel like you're with her, that she's improvising it in the moment. And I think for most of her fans, that's the attraction, is that she was doing something different. It was almost as if she was a composer herself in the way that she approached the standard repertoire.
Although Yudina was hidden behind the Iron Curtain, there are some recordings of her that you can get today. But Peter Schmeltz was disappointed to find out that there was no film taken of her playing, no visual record of her performances.
And it's a real shame, because my impression is that she made such an impact because of her personality on the stage. And we can get some traces of that from the recordings, but it's not the same.
So I wanted to find someone who had actually seen Maria Yudena in concert. And I found out she did some pretty daring things from the stage that didn't always involve playing music.
She was tall and big, and she wore a long, dark, black robe, like maybe a priest would wear. So it was very peculiar.
This is Vladimir Frumkin.
Former Soviet musicologist and critic, a very nice man.
Frumkin is originally from Leningrad. He says he always tried to see Yudena perform whenever she came to town. This was during the 1950s and 60s.
And what was it like, you know, to sit in on a concert of hers?
It was her own soul, her sufferings that she expressed through this music. Also, you could expect another surprises, not only in music interpretation, like reading poetry.
And not just any poetry, forbidden poetry. Now remember, this was a time in the Soviet Union when writers and artists were routinely censored by the government. And defying the authorities could get you arrested, even exiled. One of Yudena's favorite writers was her friend Boris Pasternak, whose novel Dr. Zhivago had been banned in the Soviet Union. It was around this time when Vladimir Frumkin had gone to one of Yudena's concerts.
She recited his poems from the stage. Yudena, imagine it.
Were people in the audience just shocked that she was doing it?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Of course.
Were you ever afraid?
I think that some people would rather leave the hall immediately. Yes, you are lucky. You never lived in the Soviet Union under that regime. Fear was one of the constant emotions of our life.
Not only were you not allowed to openly criticize the Soviet regime, but you were also expected to glorify it. Under state law, all art had to promote socialist values. It had to appeal to the working class, which meant it had to be easily understood by the masses, as deemed by government officials. This officially approved style of art is called socialist realism and was the state policy for decades.
To give you a feeling of that, French impressionists were put into basements. I didn't know for many years the paintings of Chagall or Kandinsky or Dali, Picasso. Picasso was banned.
And that included some of the great avant-garde composers of the 20th century, Schoenberg, Bartok, Stravinsky. For many of these modernist composers, it was almost impossible to get their music performed in the Soviet Union unless Maria Yudena got a hold of it.
50 years actually passed since that time, and I can't forget this impression till this day.
Vladimir Frumkin had gone to hear Yudena perform this piece for two pianos and percussion by Bartok.
Was so powerful, so brilliant in terms of sound and rhythm. It's impossible to convey, you know, in words.
Those feelings listening to that music, do you think that's what the Soviet regime was afraid of?
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. They preferred us to listen, to read, to see in the museums something that don't challenge the way of life we had, that we wouldn't be exposed to emotions that were not right for the Soviet person.
For people who were so constrained in their daily lives, listening to this new music that Yudena played gave them a chance to breathe a little. But over the years, Yudina's outright defiance of the Soviet government did get her in trouble. She lost teaching jobs, she wasn't allowed to leave the country, and was banned from performing on stage for many years.
She was like an example of a free person and continued to adhere to her beliefs without any fear of being arrested or exiled or killed.
But here's the thing. Yudina was never arrested, exiled, or killed. And this brings us to the last and most famous story about Maria Yudina, a story that should have ended in her arrest at the very least. It takes place back in the early 40s, when Stalin was in power. But before we go on, I need to mention one thing. Maria Yudina was extremely religious. She was Russian Orthodox and was often seen wearing a huge cross around her neck. But this was a dangerous time in the Soviet Union to be so open with your religious beliefs. The Soviet Union was officially an atheist state. Under Stalin, churches, temples, and mosques were destroyed, and thousands of religious leaders were sent to prison camps or executed. Okay, so here's the story.
Stalin was listening to the radio one night and heard this fabulous performance.
I think it was a Mozart concerto or something like that.
Of Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 23.
In A major. And he loved it so much that he demanded,
I must have a recording of that.
But there was no record.
It was a live performance.
So they made her go at night.
During the night.
To the radio station and record that concerto.
So they summoned the orchestra.
They immediately got the orchestra.
The conductor.
They got the conductor.
And Yudina.
Got the pianist who was Yudina.
To the studio.
They recorded that and then pressed it, you know, so that he would have a copy the next morning. Stalin, upon receiving the newly pressed record,
wrote her a note saying thank you very much.
Then wrote a very generous check to Yudina.
Not a check, there were no checks.
Something like 50,000 rubles or something outlandish.
Envelope with a huge sum of money.
And she wrote him back.
And the letter is the key to the story.
Saying, I appreciate the money.
Thank you, Joseph Stalin, for this generous amount of money. I, however, don't want to take this money from someone who is a dictator.
I'll donate it to the church.
I'm going to donate it to this orphanage.
To Christian people.
And I'll pray for your sins.
That's the story.
If someone did write a letter like that, what would have happened to them?
It seemed likely that they would have been promptly arrested and promptly either sent into exile into the gulag, or would have been killed. I mean, that's what happened at that point in time.
Somehow it's just like he never touched her and she never ended up in prison or...
But why? Why did he do anything to her?
Yeah, I think it's a question that everybody has. How did she even survive? I don't know, maybe because Stalin thought she was completely crazy and didn't want to bother sending her anywhere. I don't know. Maybe because he really admired her as a pianist.
It's said that when Stalin was on his deathbed, Yudina's record of the Mozart concerto was playing. Everything I read about Yudina almost always includes this story about Stalin and the letter and the record playing when he died. In fact, Yudina is known as Stalin's favorite pianist.
It's a great story.
But when I asked Peter Schmelz about it, he wasn't so sure any of it was even true.
Everything that I've looked at says that it's a legend, and I think that's what it is. It's a legend. In all of Yudina's correspondence, which is abundant and has been published, I looked around that period in 1944, 1945, and there's nothing, there's no mention of that. But who knows? I mean, I could be proven wrong. I mean, it really becomes like a myth. She becomes this mythical figure at that point.
asked my friend Lena if she thought the story about Stalin was true. She wasn't sure, but she also said it doesn't really matter to her.
I only saw her as a musician, basically. Not in a way that she was rebelling against the system, because first of all, I had no idea about the system I was living in, as most children, you know. It was our home. I couldn't imagine living anywhere else.
It wasn't until Lena moved to the States when she found out the stories about Yudina reading banned poetry or about Stalin and the Mozart concerto. But Lena says you don't really need to know all these stories.
You just listen to her music. Yudina was something special. You will hear it.
That was Maria, Lena, and Me by Carla Murthy. You can learn more about this piece and talk to Carla at transom.org. This podcast is brought to you by Atlantic Public Media, and it's made possible with funding from the National Endowment for the Arts and by the people who like Transom and donate to it. I'm Jay Allison for transom.org. Drop over anytime.